There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Well, hello and welcome to the Scottish On podcast in association with William Hill. Myself, Robert Grieve, with me today is Gareth Law, an esteemed sports writer, and also David Friel. Good morning, gentlemen.
How are you doing, Robert?
Why are you laughing, Gareth?
Am I not esteemed, Robert?
You're not esteemed, no, David. You need to do a lot more work to be esteemed in this company. A huge win for Scotland on Sunday night at Hampden Park. 1-0 win over Slovenia, and it gets a World Cup campaign kick-started. David, what did you make of it?
I thought it was a deserved win to start with. I think in terms of the chances, I don't think Gordon Strachan could have asked for any more. Lee Griffiths has got a couple. James Morrison's got one off the line. Russell Martin had a couple of chances. I mean, the first half especially, there were so many chances created. Even Kechanya when he came off the bench. And you start to think a couple of minutes ago it's not going to happen. But I think it was a deserved win. Good to see Chris Martin silencing the doubters, shall we say, scoring the goal. And I think overall it was a deserved win, and one that breathed some life into the campaign.
The Tartan Army were quite clear in their thoughts on Chris Martin when he came on the pitch. Gareth, he pretty much got booed by thousands. What was your thoughts at that point when he was coming on replacing James Morrison? Did you think he was going to be capable of turning the game for Scotland?
Being honest, I didn't. I think a lot of people thought that. I did think it was harsh the way the crowd reacted to the decision. Well, I was going to say the way they reacted to him coming on.
But to be fair, we boo you into the office every month.
Well, you've been running into the office recently, haven't you?
That's just true.
No, I mean, I think I wondered if it was going to be if it was more the decision rather than the actual player.
Yeah.
You know, they thought Gordon Strachan was making the wrong decision rather than actually targeting those boos at Chris Martin. But
they were probably wanting Jordan Rhodes on, weren't they?
Jordan Rhodes, yeah. I think they wanted a bit more, a player that maybe would bring something a bit more dynamic in the final stages. But as it turned out, it couldn't have worked out any better.
Spoke to Gordon Strachan after the game, David, and put it to him that the fans were unhappy with the arrival of Chris Martin, and he made the point, or he claimed, that people who don't understand football, that's the ones who are kind of questioning it. Would you go along with that? Because for me, Chris Martin hasn't done enough in a Scotland jersey, and I think that's a little bit out of order for Gordon to say that.
I can. Chris Martin's one of those strikers. He's not going to run away from defenders. He's not the most skillful, but in a system, playing as a lone striker, he can be effective, and I think that's why Gordon Strachan has picked him quite a lot recently, because he sees him as a big target man that can hold the ball up and bring others into play. But in theory that's fine, but in practice it hasn't actually worked. He was thrown on last night, I'm assuming, to try and get balls into the box to get headers, because he's probably of the Scotland strikers available, he's the most physical, but nobody probably expected him to roll one in his left leg to get the winner. So you know, maybe the Tartan Army did think Jordan Rhodes was the best bet. I can kind of understand where Gordon Strachan's coming from, but football isn't played in theory. You know, you have to show something when you're on the pitch, and up till last night Chris Martin hadn't done it. But listen, fair play to him, because he could have come on, felt sorry for himself when the fans are booing him. Instead he just got on with it, and he's a hero now.
The fans were out of order, Gareth, weren't they? They shouldn't be booing a player onto the park when he's there representing his country. It's not his fault if he's got deficiencies in his game. That's not down to him. He's been picked, he's been asked to do a job, and I thought it was out of order for the fans.
Yeah, I agree. As I say, I don't know if it was more the decision than actually the directing the boos at Chris Martin, but I don't think you should be booing any player who's coming on playing for their country. You know, that there's been a history of it. You know, Gordon Strachan mentioned it, Gary McAllister, Arne Hansen in the past, so if anything, he's in good company. But I think he reacted in the perfect way.
What about Gordon Strachan, David? Because in fair play to him, his team selection, there was a few surprises in there. Mm-hmm. Revealed earlier in the day, Kieran Tierney at right back. He dropped Darren Fletcher, brought back James Morrison. Were you surprised by team? Talk to me about Tierney, because you've got strong views on this, haven't you? You don't think Tierney, a left-footed player, should be playing at right back.
Tierney was a surprise. Not that Tierney played. I always felt Kieran Tierney would play. I didn't think he'd play right back. I just don't think. And listen, he did fine. He did well, but I've watched Kieran Tierney dozens of times over the last couple of years. It's uncomfortable, especially the first half, as I've ever seen him on a football pitch. And that's only natural, because as a right back, he was always having to cut inside. He was always on his left foot. It's hard, I think, more so for a left footed player to go to right back than it is for a right footed player to go to left back. I don't know why that is. I think it's just a quirk of football. I would argue that left footed players are more one footed than right footed players. I don't know if there's statistics to back that up, but I think that's just, I don't even like two left footed centre halves playing together. I think it's just an imbalance in the team. But I think Kieran Tierney was there because probably he's the best, as Gordon Strachan said before, one-on-one defender in the squad. Very few players get the better of him. He's an intelligent player. At 19, I thought it was a big ask for him, but I thought he looked hesitant at the start, even where to stand, where to be to receive the ball. And over the course of 80 minutes, he probably didn't get up the park and link up as much with his wingers as he would do every week with Celtic. But you know what, he stuck to his task, and I thought he came on and grew stronger. And you know, the winger wasn't getting past him. He defended well, used the ball as well as he could. Long term, I'm not sure if it is the answer for Scotland. Long term, I'm not sure if Kieran Tierney should be Scotland's right back. I think he should be Scotland's left back, but I think it's maybe a bit unfair to play him out of position.
What do you mean, Gareth? You've come to this podcast with a pile of notes, an absolute pile. There's a rainforest,
a mountain of notes.
What have you got written down there in Kieran Tierney?
Preparation, Robert.
Well, come on then, what have you got in Kieran Tierney?
Well, I think he played, as David said, I thought he was decent last night. He didn't look comfortable first half. I think maybe he was helped by the fact he wasn't up against a player who was taking him on one-on-one too much. Could have showed him onto his weaker side. So I think that helped him, but as nights go, you couldn't say he was troubled, but I think we spoke about it when the game was going on. His body language didn't look totally right, and he put in a shift, but I think he'd have come off there thinking, you know, he'd had a game last night.
I mean, Andy Robertson on the left had a great game as well. Mm-hmm. So it's a difficult one for Gordon Strachan. He's trying to get two of his most kind of promising young players into the squad, and he's doing that. So you can understand why he's trying to
crowbar them in there. I can understand, but see, for me, Kieran Tierney's a very good defender. But Kieran Tierney's assets are getting forward, going the overlaps, playing 1-2s, getting up the park, getting crosses, and he's a great crosser of the ball.
Yeah.
And I just felt he was a bit inhibited playing on the right hand side, because Kieran Tierney normally would be getting on the ball, playing 1-2s with James Forrest or whoever's in front of him, getting about it. I just felt he couldn't do it naturally.
No.
Now maybe over time, it was his first chance, he's only obviously done it in training, which is completely different. Maybe over time he'll feel more natural and more comfortable. But I think the next game's England at Hampden. Scotland, as things stand, don't have a friendly before that. It's going to be pretty hard again to throw Kieran Tierney in at right back, and I think slightly unfair for a guy his age.
I did think he would start with Anya last night again.
You did think?
I did, yeah. Just because of the balance. And as David touched on there, you do forget how young Kieran Tierney still is. He's still, as good as he is, there's still aspects of the game that he's learning.
Ironically, he probably didn't want to play too well in the game, because if he plays so well as he did, it's every chance he's going to need to stay there.
I think he will stay there now, though.
Yeah.
I think, I don't think Gordon Strachan will really, if injury permitting, will change our winning team.
No.
And I don't know.
It'll be interesting, I think, if we come up against sides who play with more width. Mm. I think the idea was that Slovenia were going to come at Scotland through the middle, and therefore he wasn't going to have to be necessarily on his right foot all the time.
I don't think defensively it's that much of an issue. For me, it just takes away a lot of the balance of the team going forward. For me, Kieran Tierney, what an asset he is going forward. I just think you're losing a lot of what he does naturally by playing him in an unfamiliar position, and suddenly everything was going down the left hand side for a long time last night, because see when the ball, say Russell Martin for example, was giving it to Kieran Tierney, he wasn't actually opening his body to play in James Forrest or to play a pass in. He was constantly facing back the way, especially in the first half. It's just a natural thing as a left footed player, and I don't know, maybe I'm making too much of it, but I think going forward Kieran Tierney should be Scotland's left back and somebody else should be Scotland's right back.
I think what you're making too much of is calling him by his full name every time you mention his name. It's Kieran Tierney. We just call him Tierney, we don't have to call him his full name. What about Stuart Armstrong, Gareth? He had a fantastic game. Gordon Strachan said it was the best international Scotland debut he's ever seen. Would you go as far as that?
Well,
look, given that you're Welsh and you've probably not seen many Scotland debuts, I need to make that point.
Can I ask you where you were on July the 5th?
Gareth, I'm not going over this again, but just come on, talk to me about Stuart Armstrong.
Just for any listeners who weren't listening last week, I think that was when you were covering Wales at the European Championships.
Stuart Armstrong, Gareth.
But Stuart Armstrong, I thought there was pressure on him going into the game, but he never once showed that he was affected by that pressure. I don't think there's been many uncapped players going into their first game who have almost been looked at as potential match winners in the way that Stuart Armstrong was getting talked about. Rightly, I mean, Gordon Strachan said before the game that they weren't getting goals from their strikers, yet they got a player in midfield, coming into midfield, who'd scored 12 for his club. I thought he lived up to his pre-match billing, didn't look out of place, looked at home at that level, and I think it just showed. I mean, even the pass for the goal at that time when Scotland were desperate for that goal, he still had the composure to thread Chris Martin in. So I thought, I mean, he was man of the match and deservedly so.
There's real pace, isn't there, and power in his running, David. He doesn't give up, but the energy and the engine he's got, that's the kind of best in him, isn't it?
He's always been a good athlete, sure, Armstrong, but I think he's just matured and he just knows his position. I don't think Gordon Strachan complicated it for him last night. I think he basically just said to him, I think you'd said before the game, just go and play the way you do for Celtic, playing exactly the same position, pretty much. And I think he's just so suited now and knows where to be, where to pick up the ball, and he gets stuck in a bit more now. He looks bigger, stronger, and I think he's playing. It's amazing what a bit of confidence can do for a player. To me, if you compare Stuart Armstrong to the kind of middle of last season under Ronnie Dyer, when he's stuck out on the left hand side and playing with an injury and just probably thinking, where am I going here, what direction am I going in, and now he's suddenly this all action midfielder, and what an asset he is for Celtic and Scotland.
I mean, fair play to Brendan Rodgers for spotting that after a month or so in the job, and he's put him in that position, but it's another example of how much he was wasted, isn't it, under Ronnie Dyler. He was playing wide left, he'd be getting frustrated by it, and a year ago his Celtic career was looking doomed. And here he is, one of the guys we're talking about building a Scotland side.
If you said a year ago that Stuart Armstrong would be playing for Scotland, central midfield, box to box, getting stuck in, setting up goals, setting up chances, people would have looked at you as if you were daft.
Yeah.
Even more so than usual, you know?
But you get that look a lot.
But I think he's transformed his career for me, and playing under Brendan Rodgers is just, I mean, I think Stuart Armstrong's just going to go from strength to strength.
I also wonder though if it's an indictment on Ronnie Dyler, because all down the years when Stuart Armstrong's played his best football, it's been through the middle, be it Dundee United, be it Scotland under-21s, he's always played his best through the middle. So should Ronnie Dyler have spotted it before?
Absolutely, and I think that's one of the big accusations that was put to Ronnie Dyler during his time at Celtic. Why are you not playing this guy through the middle? Everyone could see it. He wasn't a left-sided midfield player, and now he's thankfully shown his worth in that team. He's the kind of guy, David, we can build this Scotland. Whatever happens with this World Cup squad, we've got some guys coming through, John McGinn's of this world. Stuart Armstrong is at the age. What age is he? 25?
24.
24. We can. He could be a Scotland player for the next handful of years.
Yeah, because he's got all the attributes in terms of his pace and his power, but I think there's an added composure to his game now. When you talk about the first month under Brendan Rodgers, even I still think you can see he was maybe a bit too keen to impress and a bit overthinking things, but see now it all really comes naturally. And the thing as well, he spoke about it, see, big games, he always delivers in big games, scores goals at important times, and that's an invaluable asset as well.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Where do we stand, Gareth, on the Scott Brown debate? He came back to the team last night, captained the side with Darren Fletcher, omitted again. And here we are, we've got this England game, June the 10th, massive game, biggest game of the campaign, and it's... We're not quite sure if Scott Brown's going to be involved. I mean, I know you pick and choose when you work for us, but should he be able to do that for a Scotland team?
Well, I said before the England game, that you shouldn't be allowed to pick and choose when you play for your country, and I still believe that. I know why they're taking their time over announcing or deciding on whether he's going to face England. If you're a betting man, which I know you are, Robert, not a successful one, but you're a betting man, you'd say that he probably won't play. Brendan Rodgers certainly doesn't want him to play. I don't think, despite what you said before the last England game, I don't think he has necessarily raised Scotland's level to a level that they wouldn't have been far away with without him.
I think that's harsh. David, would you agree with that? Because I don't agree with that at all. I think Scott Brown's return to the national team has been a big boost to Gordon Strachan and the team, albeit I don't think he had a particularly great game against Slovenia, but we're better with them than without them.
I think Scotland are better off with Scott Brown. I think Scotland are better off with Scott Brown.
But did he play well against England?
I don't think he had a bad game against England. Yeah, I think he had a good game against England. I think most of the players had a good game against England, but for me it boils down to the fact that we're a better player with Scott Brown. I don't think there's any doubt about that. David, what do you make Scott Brown? Because it's a debate that's going to rumble on probably for the next couple of months.
See, I don't think it can rumble on. No, I think there has to be a decision made. I think if he's in, he's in. And I don't think I disagree with it. A lot of people are saying, oh, he's picking and choosing. I don't think up to now he has really.
Yeah,
I think he retired from international football because his body was in bits. He's a summer break, he comes back refreshed, he's playing arguably the best football of his career. Scotland are in a real pickle under Gordon Strachan, a guy who he thinks the world of. Gordon Strachan leans on him and says, Scott, I need you back here. He comes back, plays for him, and he's made himself available for the game since. We're now at a situation where there's a game in the middle of the summer, basically, and it's going to impact in his club career. So I think now is the time where he's going to have to pick and choose. And I think Scott Brown can't possibly say, I'm not playing against England, but I'll play against Lithuania in September. He can't do that. He has to decide between Gordon Strachan and Brendan Rodgers or Scott Brown. They have to decide if Scott Brown's a Scotland player now or he's retiring again. I mean, and it has to be nipped in the bud.
I think he's in an enviable position, Scott Brown, because he's answering Gordon Strachan's call effectively.
But I don't think Scott Brown's done anything wrong. On the contrary, I think Scott Brown's actually almost, I don't mean playing against his will, but he decided to retire. See, if Gordon Strachan wasn't Scotland manager, we were saying this last night, he wouldn't be playing for Scotland, just now. He'd retired.
Yeah.
I think Scott Brown has done Gordon Strachan a favour. The way things have panned out, it's now in a bit of a difficult position because Scotland are still in it. Scott Brown, as Robert said, the team's playing a bit better with him in it, but Brendan Rodgers won't want him, I would think, to play 10 days before Celtic are due to report for pre-season and 20 days before Celtic's Champions League campaign.
The thing as well, David, people need to remember, at the time that Scott Brown made that decision, his Celtic career was kind of in the balance. He'd come through injuries in the previous season. Brendan Rodgers had just come into the club, and at that point I think Scott Brown was fearful of his Celtic career, and he decided, listen, I have to kind of park the Scotland side of things for now and concentrate on my club career. And I don't think you can blame the guy for that. And as you say, it reached the stage where Gordon Strachan desperately needed some help, and he turned to Scott Brown. I'm doing what you're doing and calling his full name, but he turned to Scott, and he answered his call. And I don't think you should be criticised for that. But
I'm not criticising him for that.
But what I do think, Gareth, sorry, is that I do think he has to come out and declare whether he's playing for Scotland or he's not back for Scotland.
Do you think he'll play against him?
I do. I think he will be back. I'd be very, very surprised now if he's not at Hampden on June the 10th for the Scotland game.
I would think so as well. I think publicly just now he's obviously going to have to speak to the Celtic manager, but I don't see a situation. It's a difficult situation, but I don't see how Scott Brown possibly can't play against England. I just think
the crux of the matter as well, sorry Gareth again, the crux of the matter is that Scotland are right back in this mix in Group F for this World Cup campaign. It would kill Scott Brown if, and I know it's a big if, were to get to this World Cup and he packed it in halfway through a campaign. I think we've still got a chance, albeit an outside chance, and I think we're a better team with Scott Brown in it.
I think the emphasis now might fall on Brendan Rodgers to manage Scott Brown, you know, because that's the only way he's going to get him ready for the Champions League qualifiers, you know, and get back and,
well,
and, it, and it's over to,
but
to
made this point this morning, Celtic will get the league title tied up virtually. Could he give him a fortnight off, David? You don't think he could? I think he could. He could give him and others 10 days off to go and have a break during the season.
I don't think a club manager, I think he would only be doing that if it's in the best interest of Celtic. I don't think a club manager is ever going to make decisions based on international football.
But it is in the best interest of Celtic if Scott Brown says to him, I'm playing
potentially, but see if you give Scott Brown 2 weeks off in the next couple of weeks when you've got a Scottish Cup semi-final against Rangers on April 23rd. Why would you ever give
you it? You could do it after that game.
But then you've got a Scottish Cup final potentially.
I think I don't think he can give him 2 weeks off, but he can start him in games, and when the games are 1-3-0,
see if Celtic were out of the Scottish Cup, Scott Brown would probably play another two games this season. He would just be put into cold storage completely, right? But the fact is, Celtic are trying to win a treble. Celtic are unbeaten in the league, and I'm sure Brendan Rodgers. So Brendan Rodgers isn't, and quite rightly, thinking of Scotland. He's thinking of his season, and he's thinking of his players. And I get that he's maybe going to have to protect Scott Brown to an extent, but his sole focus will always be in Celtic. Brendan Rodgers, I don't think he should be
his point. But then, if his sole focus is on Celtic, rightly, he's got to be thinking, how do I get Scott Brown ready for the Champions League? So
I think it's a difficult one.
He has to manage the situation that he finds himself in. If Scott Brown says to him he wants to play against England,
I just think that I don't know. I think Scott Brown, a lot of Scott Brown's strong form this season has been down to the fact that he got 6 weeks off last year, and that was, he'd said to himself, it was the first time in a while. He's only going to get 2 weeks maximum, and I don't think Brendan Rodgers is going to rest him. I think he might give him a week off at some stage, but I don't think he's going to rest him for a long period if there's a Scottish Cup final at stake. And I think Brendan Rodgers will want Scott Brown to say, that's me, but I think Scott Brown will play.
But do you think having Scott Brown there will be enough for Scotland to beat England?
Well, I was going to come to that. The big game is obviously on June the 10th, we play England, and I think we have to be optimistic about that. Are England as good, David, as people make out? They're obviously romping Group F. They're 13 points out of 5 games, top of the table, almost certainly going to qualify as group winners, but are they unbeatable?
I don't think they're unbeatable. I mean, I don't think they're one of the...
Wait a minute, David. Gareth's got his paperwork here. Gareth's got his paper.
So you're asking David a question there?
You've got European superpowers. You've got your Germany, France, maybe Spain. But I don't think England are of the elite level, like the very top 3 or 4, but I think they're a very good team. I mean, they've got good players. They've got a lot of good young players coming through as well, so...
Let's see if we start, man, Gareth. What have we got, Gareth, in your bits of paper?
No, I don't think having Scott Brown there will be enough to beat England. England haven't conceded a goal in this campaign, and they're the only country in the European qualifying section not to concede a goal.
It's got to change sometime.
I hope I'm wrong, but I think England will win. And I think, I mean, I said last week I thought the campaign had gone for Scotland, and great performance, played really well on Sunday night. I just think the next round of games might change things again a little bit.
Well, here's hoping that Scotland do qualify, that we at least give ourselves a chance. We could do what Wales do, David, and just go about kicking people, you know.
Was that the Welsh team you covered back last July?
We could just really do that, just go and kick people off the park. Anyway, that's the international scene. This weekend is obviously the weekend, David, that Celtic can wrap up the title. I mean, it's been a tough, hard season for them in the league, hasn't it? I'm joking, of course. It's been a romp, but it's only a matter of time when they win this. It looks like it's going to be this weekend.
Everybody's been waiting for this, and I do think, and I know a lot of the players will say they don't care if Aberdeen hand it to them by losing to Dundee, but I think they would want to win it in their own steam. You know, I think going to Tynecastle, especially tough game against one of the, I know they've not been in great form recently, Hearts, but one of the better teams in the league. I think that's where Celtic would really want to win the league. It's a matter of time, it's going to happen. I think the question is, can Celtic go through the whole season unbeaten in the league, which would be historic, obviously, but I think that, you know, the title's going to, it's in the bag.
What have you made of Celtic, Gareth? You've watched them a number of times this season. They are the far and away the best team in the league, worthy champions when it comes around. You'd expect them to do it this weekend, wouldn't you?
Aye, you would. I mean, I think Aberdeen need to beat Dundee on Friday night to take it to that game. I can see that happening with the way Aberdeen have been playing. So it's only been a matter of time they've been champions elect, probably since about Christmas time. Probably everybody
I think September.
Yeah,
to be honest with you.
But I think Matt, it's just a matter of time.
I know you've said this before, but you're a big fan of Derek McInnes and the job that he's done at Aberdeen. Is he going to credit the deserves in that job?
I think we touched on this last week, that you've got to give Derek McInnes a lot of credit for what he's done at that club. I think he'll have been quite happy to see some of his players who were on international duty this week didn't get too many minutes under their belt. Namagin just had 10 minutes off the bench against Norway. Johnny Hayes.
That sound was a paper getting ripped out of Gareth's hand. Gareth, come on, talk to us and what you think. Not with stats.
I'm informing Robert.
Gee whiz.
Johnny Hayes stayed on the bench against Wales as well. So I think yes, he'll have been happy with that. Tony Dock's been away with Scotland this week, so they'll all be back together again now. Yeah, and you can't deny the job that Derek's done there. And as I said last week, I can still see them staying where they are, finishing second and holding off any challenge from Rangers.
Well, we're away to put Gareth's notes in the bin, set them on fire, and hopefully he never has them again for the next podcast. Thanks very much for joining myself, Robert Greave.
Are you running home today, Robert?
I'm not running home. Gareth Lobb is with us today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And also David Field. Thanks very much.